I want you to think of Game of Thrones in Chicago, and there's a giant shadow over the land. It has wings, and it feels like giant leather flapping up in the air. This is the election coming, the election for mayor of Chicago. There's no dragon. We're not going to be burned, but there may be a dragon born, depending on who wins on Tuesday. Rokan, star of the Rokan Show, is going to be here. And then my friend Will Lee, top reporter for the Chicago Tribune and my former leg man, will be here. And Jeff Carlin, of course, is here now from WGN AM's Rokan Show with Anna DeVellantis. How many times am I going to say that today? Jeff, by the way, thanks for the excellent music, the violin music, when I was reading the story about Mrs. Jackson building a prison tamale for her son, Jesse. It was just so Ken Burns-like. And for me, John Cass, husband, father, nationally syndicated columnist of the Chicago Tribune. And I know where you are. The giant dragon is flying overhead. Is its name Preckwinkle or Daly? I don't know, but it's flapping, and you can hear its breath. You can feel it on the back of your neck. As you enter the lonely street, the boulevard of broken dreams, the Chicago way, on WGN Plus.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man.
Castle.
There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand, defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso. In a tower by the river, Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way.
God, Ro, you look great today, sitting by the fireplace with the sweater on.
Thank you. Well, you know, I dress like this before every municipal election.
Look, I have to confess something. On the by the way, I have to do the radio thing. Our guest now is Rokan from the Rokan Show and a man who almost killed me many years ago on Marquette Road in Kedzie. Okay?
Okay.
So 67th and Kedzie, I'm driving out there. I'm trying to cover, I think it was like Aloysius Majerzyk in the 13th Ward had a fight at the Polish Highlanders Club or something in the parking lot, and there was broken bottles everywhere. And I've got the radio on, and you start doing a bit where, if do you ever squeeze a doll and the eyes come out?
That's sure.
That was happening to me. I was dying in my car. You were doing a bit about kicking the dog, or some kind of, you kicked my dog, or something.
Yes, yeah. It was actually a piece of tape that we had found about a guy completely. This is at the beginning of viral, was what happened there. There was a guy who called another guy, his neighbor is a Canadian guy, who called to complain about the neighbor coming over and kicking his dog. And he was of Pakistani descent,
okay.
And had an amazing accent. Okay. That's how that went.
Okay, yeah, because I think there was a girl, somebody was in there. It's like the things you remember before you die of a stroke from laughing. But that was so funny. And I don't know how many years ago that was, like 20 years ago?
That's
60 years
yeah.
ago?
Yeah, 110 years
110
ago.
Years ago. Yeah. Okay, so now in the present, what do you make of this mayoral race?
You know, we talked to just about everybody now, and I get the sense, the candidates, I should say, and I get the sense that it is, if you're Bill Daly or Tony Preckwinkle, who I think walked into this thinking they were both going to end up 1 and 2, you know, they didn't know which way, but 1 and 2, I think they're both looking at the numbers, and they're both stopping and thinking, uh-oh, I mean, it's so tight. Almost anything can happen, and it really is dependent on turnout. It really is dependent on what kind of weather we're going to have, what kind of last-minute hijinks there are. Tony's had a bad couple of days here.
Wait, even in the middle of the night, she's got Jesse Smollett to thank, you know, because he's taking us away from the political news. But then she's just fire her chief of staff, her political guy, over in like at midnight the other night. She fired him. It's like people left and right, wheels are coming off the bus, cats and dogs living in, together. You know what I mean? It's just like her whole campaign is like limping to the end.
Yeah, which is really, I think, you know, there may be some people who are casual watchers of her political career and think, wow, that's surprising. I thought she was actually well put together. But yeah, I think that this really is not a surprise to a whole lot of people. Running for Cook County Commissioner is a very different thing than running for mayor. Even though Cook County is, what, twice the size of the city of Chicago, and it has, you know, about two-thirds the budget of the city of Chicago, it's a little fiefdom. It's not a big deal. It doesn't and the people who the number of votes to become the Cook County Commissioner, pretty low.
Yeah, you know, it's not just the main event, right? It's just not. Even if you raise what soda taxes and everyone hates your guts, they kind of forget and elect you again. We do have a big thing happening though, which is, we're going to, this election on Tuesday marks the beginning of all those Rahm Emanuel, We Hardly Knew You stories, features, CNN documentaries coming out again. They'll re-edit that 6-part with CNN documentary that kissed his butt for like week after week with Conkle doing the
voiceover.
The voiceover. Hey, I love you, man. You're so awesome, man.
Oh, they're going to read the, I don't know, the Robert Redford piece?
Yeah, wasn't that great?
Yeah, it was something.
Are you gonna miss Rahm? Are you gonna miss him?
No, I'm not. But I'm not. I gotta say, I know you and I will probably tussle about this, but I don't think he did a bad job at all. I mean, he did kick the can. They've all kicked the can, yeah, in terms of the financing of this, because nobody can exactly figure out what to do. They were hoping that maybe there would be a big swim economically here, and that they might be able to make some of it up, and they have made some of it up. You know, they like everybody else, they invest in the market, and they're hoping that, you know, their investments in the market will go up, and it'll be easier for them to pay off their pension obligations.
See Roe talking like bonds and stuff.
Yeah,
complicated,
well,
financial stuff.
Where these guys, right, are. That's what, yeah, they have to do. But you know, in terms of the city, I mean, I've spent my whole life here, and I think the city is in better shape in a lot of ways than it has ever been. He did something. The one thing, if you want to stop and think about the one singular accomplishment, is that he increased the profile of Chicago in an international way. I know that we talk about murders and all that, but we are, we're over the 50 million mark now in terms of tourists who come into Chicago, and I think it was like 38 million when he came to office. You love that number because those people come in, they pay the 17% hotel tax.
I love that. They ride on his brother's Ubers.
Yes.
You know, right?
Right, exactly.
The RE Ubers?
The RE Uber, sorry, right. They do that. Every once in a while, they cheat and they'll take a Lyft, but very few of them because Uber's everywhere. Lyft isn't. Right. And some of them even, will take a water taxi and other kinds
or
of things.
A Divvy?
Yes.
A yeah. Divvy.
Yeah,
yeah, I hope those drive. Go away. I want those to go away.
Yeah, that's going to be a problem. I like the idea. Then, Rahm's idea of the divvy that you could just leave anywhere. That worked out great. They tried it in the most responsible neighborhoods in Chicago, right, to see if anybody would be responsible. And it proved that even in the even in Beverly, people are going to be irresponsible.
Oh, especially with all those Joyce boys, you know?
Yeah, they're tough. Yeah, so it does seem that I think he left the city in a lot of ways better than he found it. Crime is crime. Can I say, you call this thing the Chicago way, right? I got something to say. I've been waiting.
You don't like the Chicago way?
Career. No, I got the, I want to give a new framing for the Chicago way.
Oh, okay, good.
Which is just the term, the Chicago way.
Mm-hmm.
That, when we learned this during the Jussie Smollett situation. Jussie Smollett has shown a really bright hot light on what the difference is in police work when a community cooperates in the investigation. And I think that all the criticism that the Chicago Police Department is taking, listen, they're ripe for criticism on a lot of different levels, a lot of different times, in individual moments. But collectively, this idea that the police spend more time working on these kinds of things and they're able to get it done and kids, are dying in the streets or whatever it is, I think is a short-sighted way of looking at it. Because in these investigations, I know you wrote a column about the one-year-old who got shot in the head.
Right.
Right. This is not about the police not putting assets into trying to investigate that. They run into dead ends. And when you don't run into dead ends, their job can actually get finished. They cannot get finished if people do not cooperate. If witnesses, if the cameras on the north side of the city of Chicago where these guys lived and where this happened, the Smollett case.
And the crafty beaver, the helpful crafty beaver people.
Exactly.
It was this rope that they used for the noose. Right.
They're very helpful there.
Yeah. Not the nylon covered, the cloth.
Right.
You know, the soft cloth.
The softer one.
Because retro, I think, they're
looking
for. Because
it went better against his, against his hoodie.
The hipster.
Against his champion. His champion t-shirt, sweatshirt. Yeah.
So I just think that we need to look at Chicago crime in a different way than we've been looking at it, which is to stop and say we're not going to get anywhere, and the murder rate in the city of Chicago is not going to get better. And again, it's in essentially an 8 to 10% of the blocks in the city is where 80 to 90% of the shootings and murders occur. And until we get to a point where people want to cooperate and feel safe cooperating, and that's up to the Cook County State's Attorney and the police to be able to make people feel safe that there's going to be justice and they're going to be protected if they do step up. I get all of that.
That little boy was shot at 99th and Troop. I hope I'm pronouncing it right. As a
yes, you are. Yeah.
Troop. Mm-hmm. That's how we say it.
1-2-3.
Yeah. And the detectives, what I didn't put in the column, I put on the last podcast, detectives are visiting that kid. I don't know if the family's visiting him, but I know the detectives are.
Yeah.
And they're working the case, but this Smollett, and they're working it hard, but the family's not helping. The mother's been shot at 3 or 4 times, I think, and they know who shot at them, and they're not. I don't think they're helping. But the Smollett thing, Eddie Johnson did a great news conference last week, missed one thing. I mean, I think he was trying to have it both ways. He was saying that Smollett was an idiot for taking we don't waste our resources. We're helping. We're going after crime wherever it leads us. But at the same time, he was saying Smollett took resources away from the Chicago Police Department.
Well, he wasted time with 12 detectives. Right? I mean, that's true though, and they had to. And you know, but the thing is that this Smollett case was poking at the central nervous system of the Chicago Police Department and the reputation of the city of Chicago, nationally and internationally. That look at this. Look, we got it's MAGA country, and this guy's getting lynched in the streets, and none of it was true.
What about who gets a break? Is it ABC? Because I'm thinking, Jeff and I were talking on it earlier, if you had been doing the interview instead of Robin Roberts, I got a feeling, even if Jeff weren't in your ear, you might have been saying, hey, wait a minute. You had the fight, you fought off these two MAGA guys, and you still had the tuna fish sandwich in your hand and your phone in the other hand? Yeah. Come on, Jesse, come on.
Yeah,
there was no pushback from her.
So what's really interesting, just a little bit of inside baseball here in the media world, is you had the ABC network, right, and Good Morning America, which goes about as deep as a gunshot graze wound. It kind of doubled and tripled down on this issue because it plays to a larger narrative in the country that, there's racial tension in the, the Trump era. This is, people are pitted against each other in red hats versus no hats and all the rest of it. Right. And they didn't really do their research because, if they'd asked, they'd been watching the Chicago news, they've been following what was
Rafer
happening here.
And August and GN and all that, and Tribune and Sun-Times,
Right. Well, and I think now, and then, so that's the point I want to make is that Elgis, who works at ABC here, Rob Elgis works at ABC 7 here, right? He was, if they'd called him, he'd have said, hey, keep your powder dry on this.
It's BS. Right.
But Robin Roberts got the exclusive interview with him, and then he got to show best actor in a supporting role.
Yeah,
that was so. You
know, he better get the Emmy for that. I hope.
Yeah, and then. But you know, I got to give it to Channel 7's news operation that they never blinked on that. They were like, they went full steam ahead. Even after Eddie Johnson came out and publicly, he went after them and Channel 2, because Channel 2 was also going full steam too.
And Rafer Weigel and 32. I think he went after them. Yeah, he
seems
you know what? I don't know. The Tribune and Sun Times did, I think, a decent job, but I think there's something in the background of all this, if we're talking media, and that is you've got that whole intersectionality thing, and I wrote about it in a column. You've got an alleged victim who's black and gay, openly gay, and who's going to push back on him? Because if you push back on him, our experience tells us you'll be accused of some horrible crime of insensitivity or anti-gay phobia or something, right? Or racism. And I saw that again in the newspaper just last week. I had people are saying, if you didn't believe Jussie Smollett, you're a racist. I'm thinking, what?
You know, but John, I got to tell you, I mean, that's just all Putin. That is just the Internet Research Agency and Putin. I mean, people are reacting now because of social media. You know, remember the... back in the day when a news editor, in television especially, they'd go out and they want man-on-the-street reaction, right? They were called MOS. Well, in every newsroom in America, they called it AAA. Ask any a-hole. That's what the assignment was, right? So just go out on the street and get anybody's opinion, and it's just fine. It has as much weight as anything else because they're speaking for the people.
Shouldn't we use the 25th Amendment, sir?
They're speaking for themselves.
Right.
They're speaking for themselves. Every individual on social media and out on the street and everything, they speak for themselves. And mostly because they're just being asked at that moment or provoked into it on social media, especially because that's the conversation thread. And then they all of a sudden they have to have an opinion on something that they may know nothing about. Yeah. But that doesn't mean that it's right. It doesn't mean that it matters for anything. I think we spend too much time worrying about whether or not we're going to be criticized. If you're a celebrity and you're making money off of your public, public's perception of who and what you are, you know, you live at a different level than if you're just some guy who's got 100 Instagram followers or Twitter followers or whatever it happens to be.
What if you're a radio talk show host on a 50,000 watt station? Or if you're a columnist, lead columnist in a major newspaper, you're going to be, you push back on that. You could, you know.
Yeah, well,
you could find yourself in hot water.
Has that hurt Rush Limbaugh? He makes $60 million a year. Right? I mean.
I hate it when Rose Logical.
Yeah.
You should go with the argument I'm trying to make, damn it. It's not your helping.
Listen, it's all part of the, you know, the grand debate and the info entertainments, you know. The way everything is kind of smushed together here, that the idea is to be provocative. Now you got people who are just idiots who are being provocative too. You got, you know, guys like the Annapolis guy or some of these other people who are really trying to get away with
that
things.
That Milo Yiannopoulos,
yeah,
an idiot.
Yeah,
and I got to put Rachel Maddow and Hannity in that idiot category. Although they're smart, they know what they're doing. They're just basically hurting. They're playing, you know, a game on their listeners or viewers.
Well, we're just getting, that's true. And we're just getting wider and wider and wider apart because people are, you know, consuming information that in a silo now. They're not seeing both sides of it. And that's a very scary moment, but it doesn't make it right. And so when people say, when back to Rob Elgus and Rafer and all the rest of the people who stood up and did it, trust me, you know, we were told very, very specifically when we were doing this at Windy City Live, we have to be very careful and make sure that we're saying alleged and all of that. It was like a very, with R. Kelly and with Jussie Smollett, right? Because it had been lawyered and everybody's afraid everybody's going to get sued. And I get that because that's an entertainment show. It's not a news show. We don't have the same protections that a news operation has. And when we're in a, you know, when we're having the conversation, everybody's being incredibly legally careful and dancing around the issue as opposed to stopping and going, this dude's lying, right? And it turned out that the dude was lying.
And oh, is he lying.
Yeah. Although, isn't it an amazing thing? I mean, people will
allegedly lying.
Well, this story will change between the time that we are talking about it right now and people are listening to this over the next couple of days. But the reality is, as of Thursday night into Friday morning, he was still maintaining his innocence. He was still saying to his cast members at Empire, he stood up there and made a tearful speech to them on the set on the southwest side of the city of Chicago.
Play some violin.
And then an hour and a half later, Fox goes, yeah, we're writing him out of the last two episodes.
Thanks for coming.
So, he's going to be rehabilitated, bro. You know this. It'll be
for sure.
It'll be like, what is the guys, Jeff and Ro? What's the what are the acts to follow now? You've seen this media circus.
Contrition's coming. I mean, he'll.
How does it go? Six stages of right.
Yeah, you say you're sorry. Moderate apology. Rehab. Come out. Do some sort of good work. Or, attempt a good word. There'll be some story that will be placed by his publicity arm about something he's doing in Los Angeles or
saving
Chicago.
Puppies, you know, yeah.
Or something, you know, something along the lines of
attacking Korean puppy farms, like in Korea, liberating the puppies or something.
Yeah, stop. I've got a fur jacket made out of that. There is.
So soft, like butter.
There is. So many, examples, right? In modern and long history of Hollywood finding a way to, you know, to try to resurrect folks. But he's going to have to show contrition, though. If he's refusing to show contrition, he will go down.
Yes, he will. And he's already taken a lot of the energy away from the Chicago mayoral race, which pisses me off because this is what's really important, you know.
That's really important.
What are we talking? You know, we're all talking about. You know, I'm going to get more clicks talking about that. So
I know I made the crazy prediction, and it's not crazy because I have a mathematical. I found a blackboard down at the University of Chicago that wasn't being used by a
David
physics
Axelrod.
Major. Mm-hmm. and I did that, you know, from the ceiling to the floor, and I've created an equation that shows.
Do you have any yarn there, like that? Like from Homeland with the things.
Right, exactly. You know, right, got it.
Yarn
got
and pictures.
Yeah. Right, the pictures and the whole thing.
Yeah.
And I've got it all kind of worked out, and I'm blinking excessively.
David. Yeah, okay. So what does it say?
It says that Bill Daley makes the final two. I think he leads the pack. I thought he was going to lead the pack in the low 20s.
Right.
I'm going to still stand by that because I made that prediction wildly and irresponsibly last week. But the other wild and fairly irresponsible prediction is that Willie Wilson is the guy who emerges over the top where there's, you know, 17.1% versus 17%. And I promise you, Tuesday night, as we're sitting around doing whatever we're doing, reporting on this, on Tuesday night, by the time it hits Wednesday morning, there will not be an answer who the number two is.
Yeah, that's why I've got to come up with a space saver type column. They're thinking... At work, they're thinking, oh, can we write continual columns all night and blog and all that? I'm like, Jesus Christ, don't talk to me about that. I just got to come up with something, you know, that's not a, because it's not going to be definitive by deadline.
Well, so when you take it off your typewriter and you pull the paper out, you wave it at
copy boy,
to have the guy grab it and take it in, and then they have to input it into the blog, right? Is that how that goes?
Yeah, that's how they do it. listen, one last thing I got to say.
Yeah.
I was on Rokan's show the other day, and I made a Chinatown. See, the thing is, what I do appreciate about you is I made a joke about something about Chinatown. I said, it's Chinatown, Jake. And you know what you said? Because I heard the tape. You said, under your breath, it's Jim. And so I said, it's Chinatown, Jake, thinking of Jake Hartford. And you said it's Jim, using his real name, Jim Edmonds. And I just wanted to tell you, I heard it. I just wanted to thank you for that.
Oh.
Because I miss the guy, too.
Yeah. Yeah. He is forever my heart and forever the guy that whenever I wonder about a story, I learned everything I needed to know about Chicago and the way it operates from him. And he's a great, great mystery. the one thing about Jim Edwards we never knew was where he came from or who he was.
Yeah. Although one time with Jim Edwards, we were standing out after our show in WLS. I was having, in those days, I smoked those cigarettes.
And we're standing
out just talking. And he didn't like to talk after the show. He wanted to go. But he's like, we were talking about something. And Val comes walking by, okay? And she's, you know, Val on Windy City Lights.
Yeah.
Windy City Lights, she walked by. And we weren't dressed as news professionals. We looked more like,
cops. Right. You look more like detectives who are just waiting for their next furlough so they can retire.
To Florida. Yeah. And we said, hi, Val. And she jumped thinking, like, it looked like she thought we were going to rob her. And he goes, you thought we were going to rob you, didn't you? So he was just perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, he was. The one thing we do know is he grew up somewhere in the near northwest side of Chicago.
Elston.
The city of Chicago.
Somewhere
like Grand Avenue, something. And that's about it.
He learned to ride a bike in the parking lot of the Blue Angel at midnight.
I do know that none of the names he used were on his birth certificate. And the question is, you know, what government work did he do prior to that that allowed him to change his identity properly?
Spring back, fall forward. He still confuses me, even though he's dead. Okay. Rokan, thanks for being here, man.
Thank you.
It was interesting to have Ro because, well, fascinating fellow. But also the dynamics, because Jeff Carlin is the producer of the Rokan show. And now we have, with the magic of radio, we have basically the producer of the John Cass column, at least for a while. His name, I used to call him Old School. On Twitter, he goes by the handle at Midnoir Cowboy. But he's Will Lee of the Chicago Tribune, and he's tired, exhausted. You know why? Because of Jesse Smollett. Jesse Smollett. How you doing, man?
I am actually feeling a little rested right now. I had I went home, and then I think I fell dead away asleep. And I woke up, and I felt actually pretty good today.
And then you found out what?
Well, within the last, I think, 20 minutes, we found out that after first backing him, the producers of Empire decided to write Jesse out the last two episodes of the season.
They're going to omit him. Womp womp.
Yeah, they are omitting him. They just felt it was in the best.
But did you hear the new rumor? What? He's going to have a show with Don Lemon. We're both going to have a show together on CNN. It'll be called Intersectionality times 2. What do you think?
I'm very surprised that they wrote him out. I'm surprised they wrote him out the show. I'd say be huge ratings right now. People want to see
him. I know. Why did they write him out? There's more coming?
I have no idea.
And that's Fox. Fox News.
Right. Fox. I mean, Fox, 20th century Fox or 21st century Fox.
They connected somehow. Tribune, WGN, world's greatest newspaper, blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
In that sort of way, I'm sure they're connected.
Yeah, they're part of the same tree of ownership. But it's amazing. You said, why write them off? There's no point to it. I mean, who's going to say, oh, geez, Fox has made a terrible choice keeping him on the show? I mean,
it would be a good choice to keep him on.
Yeah, except the ratings would go through the roof. I mean, what's the point? Who are they trying to protect, Will Lee?
I have no opinion on that.
Will, you will give an opinion here. And we got to close, turn on the light. Here we are.
Where's get the rat
lock
cage?
The door. The bright spotlight is on his head. Jeff and I are rolling up our sleeves now. We got to question this suspect.
A very familiar scenario in Chicago, I'm sure.
Because there's a reporter out there who created quite a stir, at least as far as I'm concerned. When he tweeted as Midnoir Cowboy, a picture that solved the riddle for me. And the picture was of a rather attractive prosecutor in a aquamarine suit of some kind. Looked really good against her ebony skin. She's just perfect. And if she loses like 30 pounds, well, I'm saying I've got to lose too. But she'd be like totally, she'd be like a TV star. And not that matters, okay? Because she's a prosecutor. And her name is Kim Fox. And she's in the picture that Willie's tweeting with celebrities on Oscar night or something, right? Hanging with the stars.
She was at a round table with some, I believe it was Lisa Ling, and I believe it was a couple of actresses. It was a some type of Hollywood. It was about women leadership sort of round table. And I had seen the photo the day before. My colleague, Tracy Swartz, had sent it around. I'd missed it, and then I'd seen it like a day later. And then I just happened to be looking down, and I subscribed to the Hollywood Reporter, and I said, hey, that picture looks familiar. And right there, the thing about it that was always very interesting about it was that the photo came out during the time when she was recused, when she announced
exactly.
She recused herself.
I'm glad you brought that up. She recuses herself weirdly.
From the Smollett case.
From the Smollett case. I can't handle this.
For some reason.
I'm not giving you the real reason why, but it's something I know somebody, and I just I have to pull back. Mm. And then Will drops this star, I can't even say
bleeper.
Bleeper photo where, you know, look, we all got our vices, Will. Some people like steaks and veal chops. Some people go for whiskey. Some like drugs. Some like gambling. Me, I like nothing but my family. Some people like to hang out with stars. And you know what will happen in Chicago? It depends on what you do for a living, but somebody will find that appetite and feed that appetite. And so she was with the stars. She likes the star thing.
For clarity, I didn't tweet it necessarily to make the connection with the Smollett case.
Excuse me.
I did not.
Oh, really?
I did not, honestly.
I know you.
What I did, because she's actually, and I think you would agree with this statement, that even since she's been coming out, I think you always respected Kim, even
yeah, I like
in
her.
The very beginning. She's very sharp.
Since we had breakfast with her, where?
I think it was a Wishbone, or it was one of the...
Wishbone. We had breakfast. She had the ponytail.
Right.
She looked. It was like the lady from The Good Wife thing.
She had a good answer for everything. And
too
she's,
good sometimes.
But she has, unbeknownst to us here in Chicago, she has a national profile. Like, she's known outside.
Yes.
Outside of her. It's just sort of prosecutor? Like this young sort of hip prosecutor of the big city Chicago during this very crucial time and all that. She's profiled in, you know, black publications and she's meeting with stars and all that stuff. And the thing is, I did it because I don't think people realize outside of Chicago that's how she's seen.
Well, see how I realized it? When I saw that picture, I'm thinking, and so did Jeff. And this is why we're glad to have you on the Chicago Way, Will Lee, of the Chicago Tribune, so you could educate us. Because when I saw that picture, I'm thinking, this is Will Lee's answer to why she pulled out. Right? So what's the real reason? Why did she...
This event clearly was established before the Smollett stuff. I mean, this is an Emily's List event, and it wasn't like it was... I mean, there's an announcement documentation from months ago where they announced this panel is going to have people on it.
So why did she pull out of the Smollett case?
I'll be honest with you, and I honestly... It does baffle me, and it's because of this guy who I used to work with who sometimes would kind of impart, you know, like, I wonder what really did happen in that scenario. Like, what's really there? I don't think that all of that is...
Yeah, it's called the Chicago Bullshit Detector. You've got one, too. You're city news trained.
I know when I don't know something.
Right.
I know when there's a void.
Right.
And, you know, that's why it's, you know, this whole case is kind of what it was all brought out. What are we missing here? The whole story was presented to us on the entertainment blog and made connections that, you know, weren't necessarily made. And then the very first story that was printed, it had Chicago police are investigating, like it was an afterthought.
Yeah.
So that means that they weren't consulted. They were maybe called to confirm it, but the big, you know, juicy details of it didn't come from them.
But
so
the
that
thing
just had,
is, yeah. The thing is that she pulled Kim Fox, protege of Tony Preckwinkle, Tony and cops. There's 20,000 cops. There are 35,000, 40,000 cop votes. Cops don't like Kim Fox. They think she's too easy on crime. I don't know if she is, but that's their argument. At least that's the police union argument. Maybe she's, I'm for crime if you have evidence. You know, that's her, but that's the argument that's going on.
Right.
So in the middle, at the last moments of the mayoral campaign, where people are weighing who are they going to vote for, because maybe they don't like Preckwinkle, and they're trying, and other things are coming up to their head, like Kim Fox or whatever, and then she pulls out of the Smollett story. Okay, and I still don't know why. She facilitates a meeting, gentlemen. What is that? What do you mean? You're facilitating a meeting. How does that work? With who and who?
Yeah. I again, we try to get some sort of clarification on that. And again, it was Lisa Donovan, who was on the who writes the newsletter every day about that, and she was trying to solicit this answer, and she actually did solicit it from Keira Ellis, I think, a day after, just to kind of say that there was some type of connection with a relative of Jussie, and I guess because of that meeting, or you know, she just felt it would be improper to be involved in the case.
My theory is, and since I'm not a reporter in this sense, I'm just a theorist. My theory is that she knew internally the timeline of when these charges were coming down. She knew internally that this stuff was going to be popping this week, and that there was a good chance that she was going to either have to not show up at this event, which is a huge. It was a huge deal because it's a big national spotlight. I mean, she's out there now.
She wanted to be at the event now?
Emily's List.
Yeah,
the
she
round
had
table.
To
right.
be there.
Right, and so to keep it being the questions being, well, you know, this press conference happens, they announce the charges, and where's Kim? You know, to avoid that question, they bring up this. Well, there might be a connection.
They fake up
degree.
A story.
Yeah,
they fake up a story.
Right. She might have gone shopping with somebody once, they might have shared a cola or been on the same bus or whatever it is, and then that's her cover to leave town and be at this event and not have anybody being, oh, where's Kim?
Well, you know who said where's Kim? You know who said where's Kim? And we had lunch with her too, Anita Alvarez, and she was so. Yeah. I mean, she pounced on that one. Because she still is mad at Kim and Tony for what happened with the Laquan McDonald case, where basically Anita was the fall guy. Rom gets away with it. They all get away with it. Anita wears the jacket. And I think she was a little pissed off. Did you notice that? Was it delicious, the way she was angry about it?
I'll say this. I'll never forget the lunch at Brunas, me, you, and Anita.
What did you have?
I can't recall. It was
veal salt and boca alla romana.
There you go. Because that's always you always.
Know, John never asked a question he doesn't know the answer to.
Mm-hmm. And it was just, but anyway, it was the story that it was just very clear the animus. And it was at this point, because I'd never really known Anita outside of the work.
News conferences.
So it was her talking, and she was very upfront about just this sort of real...
Tony and all that.
Oh, it was real blunt.
The way Tony comes into her office and starts dictating terms when she gets elected.
She said, nah, barging in is how she put it.
Yeah.
And it was just like, you don't get people... In Cook County or Illinois anywhere, people don't come out with their true feelings. People don't tell you that thing. So when you get somebody who's at that high a position saying, you know, I don't care for that person, it's very striking. And yet that's so when this happens the other day, it's just kind of like, wow, these things do not die, you know?
Guys, we got a lot of drama in Chicago. I didn't ask Will the main question. Who wins the Oscars? Well, this will be up
what are those?
Sunday, I believe, right?
Yes.
Jeff?
Those are the pre-Oscars, so we can make a prediction.
Wait, the pre-Oscar, when's the Oscars Sunday?
Sunday, yeah.
So who will win?
I have no idea.
What's your favorite Oscar movie?
I am not plugged in this year. I've tuned out of it.
Uh-oh.
What?
I know.
Will Lee is like Mr. Entertainment. Mr. knows like who wrote what script and all that. Where are you, man?
You've
been working?
I think it's all the politics around it and the hosting and all that stuff. I just kind of, it really kind of pushed me out of the movie sort of phase. It just kind of pushed me towards, you know, more lighthearted entertainment and not this sort of harsh political climb that we're kind of living in.
He's good, isn't he?
Yeah.
Well, I got one for you. You should watch. Widows.
I did see that. I saw it twice.
I've seen it twice, what? Too. What? I love it.
I do, too. It was.
I thought I would first like it because of the beautiful Polish girl. But then, you know, let's be honest. I'm 60, over 60 years old now.
Her character was great, though.
She was a great actor.
Yeah.
But really, I like that whole movie. And I love Bill Daly and his dad. Colin Farrell with hair. Bill Daly with hair.
I really did. I did dig his... You know someone's background, and you've seen where they've been, but he did that. He really nailed that. It was no way I didn't believe that. I could have seen so many different, you know, father-son combinations in this. You know?
Yeah.
It really something rang true about it.
You haven't seen Widows?
Has Rose seen Widows? I don't think Rose seen it either.
But he gets all those screeners that I used to get, right?
Yeah, he does. So, I mean, he may
you
have
can't
by now.
Admit to getting those screeners, right? Because you don't, they don't, they're not allowed to share them with you. Right?
So no. You never see them. Well, I mean, I can. Yeah, no, they can show them to me.
Oh yes, if they're watching it.
Yeah, yeah, watching. They can show it to me because I work with them, and the whole reason for them seeing them is to work and you know to
see
talk
how we
about
covered
them.
All that, guys. Read between those lines. Right. But you haven't seen Widows, then?
I haven't.
It is just so good.
The only movie I've seen this year, or from last year rather, is The First Man.
Oh, with Ryan Gosling.
Yes,
right?
With Ryan Gosling.
Yeah, I know. He went crazy with it because Jeff loves space. He's Mr. Space. Hmm. He talked to Ryan Gosling, but he wouldn't ask Ryan Gosling the question that I asked him to ask.
Which is?
What happened to the bleeping flag, Ryan?
They show the flag. That's the whole part.
Wait, what?
Yes, they show the flag.
I've been boycotting this movie.
I know, and I've been trying to tell you, and every time I talk about it, you ignore me. They show the flag. There's no question at all in that movie that it's an American space program and it's an American landing on the moon.
Well, does it say one small step for man?
Yes.
And there's a flag there.
Yes.
So what? Was the controversy then? Did I get ripped off?
The controversy
a movie?
Is that they may have omitted the flag piece from foreign films. That scene specifically, all the rest of it.
Oh,
yeah.
Someone were selling it to Czechoslovakia,
right? Exactly.
Oh, and there's another story that I didn't.
But it doesn't matter. There's still no doubt that the people watching in Czechoslovakian, you know, text sees that it's an American.
Czechoslovakia likes us.
Well,
okay?
Right. Well, whoever it is.
But Will, there was another one in which my jingoism, my American patriotism, prevented me, and that was a few years ago. It was Superman, where Will tells me Superman, they take out the American way. So I didn't even watch that.
Did I? Did
yes.
I, I don't know. There's a lot of reasons not to see that Superman.
Yeah, that's
wait.
That's,
wasn't it a good Superman?
I like Henry Cavill. I think he's he looks the part. I just the writing just kind of meh. You know, the editing, perhaps.
Was it Russell Crowe's The Dead?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Jor-El?
He's not Brando, but, you know, he'll do. You know.
I can't, I don't know. So I haven't seen that. What else is out there?
There's a beautiful world out there, John.
What movies are out there? I agree. I'm too locked into politics now.
Yeah.
Everything's politics.
What about
if I watch
Wiz?
Any movie,
what's the last time you saw The Wiz? It's Joel Schumacher. It's Diana Ross and Michael Jackson. No comment. And, you know, great. It's beautiful. It's dazzling. It's got great music.
She's just so gorgeous, man. Diana Ross, you know, with the white gloves. Baby. 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 Yeah. But I haven't seen it. The Wiz was an old movie.
Yeah, it's like 78. Like,
why don't you ask me if I've seen Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory?
Which one?
Ah,
what?
Good
There's
one.
Two?
Good one. See, yeah,
yeah, the Johnny Depp version, which I do not recommend.
Oh God, there was only one movie that Johnny Depp was good in recently, From Hell.
You like that? Albert. That's a Hughes Brothers film.
Was it? Yeah. See, check him out.
Yeah, really.
Heather Graham was a co-star in that one, I believe.
She played the hook of the prostitute.
Yes.
And Ian Holm played the man with the silver hammer.
The hooker with the heart of gold.
Silver hammer.
Oh.
Yeah, it's great. Oh, that was good. Because he was played basically a smart man, a detective, whose brain had been addled by drugs and opiates. Mm. And I just thought it was a good movie. So nobody else has seen any good movies this year? Are you kidding me? First Man, that's it? What else is out there?
That's all I got to.
Is Hollywood not making any good movies or what?
Well, I did see one Oscar film that's being nominated. Actually, it's the Into the Spider-Verse film, actually, which is very vivid. And it's beautiful, and it's actually...
Wait, is that Phantom?
It is Spider-Man. Spider-Man.
Which Spider-Man? They've remade it four times.
It's all of them. Yeah. It's the whole thing. It's the multiverse.
The multiverse theory concept where it's like after the Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And then like they all of a sudden, all the other Spider-Mans coming out of the woodwork. And it ties into the whole
you're right,
League of... Yeah, but right. Like the League of... Whatever.
Wait, there's a multi-universe of the League of Not Good Men. What is it called? The Justice League or whatever he said?
Well, it's kind of like in a different, each different reality, you have a different spider person.
Like Counterpart, but with Spider-Man?
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
And they're all together to
kind of there's like a big fat Spider-Man. There's a little, you know, there's a young Spider-Man.
There's like
old
a Spider-Man like me, like John Cass and Spandex.
Right. Exactly.
How you doing? How you doing? Yeah.
And so let me have this these, kid, let me have yeah, these camels so they, now. So now there's a bunch of Spider-Men. And women. Spider-Woman.
Yeah. You know, one who owns a mecha robot. It's one that's voiced by Nicolas Cage.
This is a movie?
It's a cartoon. Yes. So it's 3D animation, and it's beautifully. I've only seen clips of it, but it's... And Richard Roper loved it. I mean, he...
Is it best with the sound of water and bubbles, you know?
I'm not sure what that means.
Okay. I'm not going to go... What do I have to say? Bong?
Oh.
On the air?
No, it actually has a really good, engaging story, and the interesting thing about it is it tells an old story that we all know the origin very well, and it tells it in a different way to where you can kind of, you know, even if you don't care about Spider-Man, you're hooked, and it brings you in.
You know, the one thing, I love talking to you about politics, I love talking to you about crime, because Wooly's a great crime reporter, and I know he was, like, depressed for a while. You were depressed. Covering, you were getting there. I know you were.
Oh, I was down there.
You were down. But to bring you back up, I'm on season five. Let's see, four. I've just watched The Battle at the Wall.
episode behind you.
Tyrion is now. I'm now going to go through the castle at night with his.
Don't ruin it for him.
I'm not going to ruin anything with his crossbow. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
His little feet padding through the moist caverns of the castle. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. I just watched The Mountain and the Red Viper.
Oh. What was that like for you?
I crushed his head like this.
Yeah, that was fantastic. And it's the first time I've actually watched it on our new TV. We got like a 65-inch screen TV.
Oh my god!
And a sound like a sound bar with like the surround sound and the subwoofer, and it was amazing. It was like Gallagher was in my living room crushing watermelons,
hearing Ilaria scream after she hears it.
She was in Rome, by the way. One of Willie's favorite shows. Rome on HBO.
Yeah, that's a great show.
And the reason why, pardon me, my stomach, the reason why the leaders of Rome, like McKidd and the two fellows who played the lead Roman soldiers, they were asked to be on Game of Thrones, I'm told. Spiro, my son, told me this. Oh. But they were so pissed off that their show got knocked off HBO for Game of Thrones, they wouldn't have anything to do with it.
Oh, interesting.
So, are we ready, Will Lee? Because we had an alternate podcast for quite some time on Game of Thrones. Remember?
Right.
Are you ready?
I probably could be a little bit more ready. I need to probably kind of brush up on it because, again, I think we've spoken about this previously. They're really trying to get everyone ready for just all the carnage they're going to see. There's going to be very little pleasantry. It's going to be probably a little space, a barrier where they kind of get everybody ready and then
several episodes reset, kind of give you where everybody's been and then where everybody's moved to, and then it's going to be a free-for-all.
Absolutely.
You mean like people dying that we love?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Sansa Stark is wearing armor, we know, confirmed. That's been confirmed that she at some point will be wearing armor.
All right, listen. We can't handle culturally the people we love on TV dying. We can handle regular death because we don't even care about it. People get shot all the time in Chicago. No one gives. They just walk all. What did Jussie Smollett say? Yeah. You know. But in TV life, we're going to be upset, right?
Oh,
we
yeah.
need psychological counseling.
Oh, it's going to be a big thing for maybe a week, I'll say, because it's going to be someone who we really don't expect, you know. And it's going to be very early on, I think. And it's going to be like, can you believe that this person died this way?
Everybody, Willie is a dear friend. I love this man. But I got to tell you something about the aspect of his character that I don't like.
Ha. I know where you're going with this, I think.
And that is...
I love it.
One time,
give it to me. Give it to me. Come on.
One time, I was like, I can't believe the Red Wedding. I was crying about the Red Wedding. He's like, oh, yeah. But then this and that. And I just realized that he knew about everything before I saw it.
Yeah, but now he doesn't, though.
And then I realized that Willie does not like to be surprised. So he goes and does research. He reads the books. Then he does research. So he's not surprised. Are you going to be surprised? Will you be surprised?
We'll see.
Will you be entertained?
I'll be surprised if there aren't leaks in the coming weeks. Because that's just what happens. Like, this is going to be the most...
The armor. Widely,
right, they're going to be waiting.
She was just asked about that in an interview. The actress who plays Sansa was just asked about, are we going to... Sophie Turner. Are we going to see you in armor this season? Yeah, and she was like, yeah, it's, you know, she kind of like...
Like pointed breast armor, or she's still too young to have pointed
No, I think there's going to be real leaks. I think there's...
Yeah.
I think because before, they usually have it to where there's a subcontractor or somebody, you know,
editing has access or, to you know, polishing up.
The Czechoslovakian horse trainer.
Adding mastering.
Somebody, yeah.
One thing, bad thing is that they also they take scripts, and I know that because last season there were scripts flying around, and a couple of them turned out to be real, and then some of the clips that I saw on YouTube turned out to be. I was like, wow!
Do they have money so they could shoot different? So like Jamie dies, Jamie doesn't die. They have
right.
I so think they could throw all these leakers off.
I'm sure they probably could, but the cost for the production value on it is so high. I mean, they say it's like $1 million an episode.
And right, who's going to die? Just let's get to it. Because if Arya dies, I'm so done.
Daenerys dies, Tyrion dies. I say, and then
maybe Sansa dies.
Maybe Sansa.
I think Arya lives.
I think Arya lives. I think Cersei dies. I think Jaime dies. I think the Lannisters are completely wiped off.
Jaime has to die because he had, with his sister.
To cleanse himself.
Yeah.
I think all the sort of the people we love,
Bronn.
Tormund and Bronn.
This is Tormund right here. Tormund Giant's Bane. When he grows his beard, Jeff Carlin looks exactly like Tormund.
He eats it, I think, is what's coming up. I think he's gone. Podrick is gone. I think maybe even Brienne. Well, she has the Valyrian sword, so she probably has a chance to live. But I think Podrick and all these sort of,
if Brienne becomes a White Walker or like one of those zombies, I'll be so pissed.
I think she has that sword for a reason. She's probably destined to stick around.
Cersei?
Cersei's gone. I think that's, all of the prophecies.
Who's going to die first?
They all come to pass.
I think Daenerys dies first.
But
does she die before? Okay, does she have baby or not baby?
Not baby.
Not baby.
What?
Because she has to give birth
She's carrying a baby right now.
She has
now.
To give birth to the sword that's going to be able to kill the... Oh, I'm sorry. That's book stuff. Anyway.
God, is he evil? What about she has to have a... She's carrying a baby, man. She's carrying Jon Snow's child. You know nothing. You know nothing, Willie.
Yeah. This is going to be crazy. This is going to be a crazy thing. I don't think you can really... process it. I think they're gonna, like I said, when they lurch into it.
Mm-hmm.
I even wonder if Bran will survive to the end. You know,
yeah.
Bran's toast.
I think he lives. I think he lives.
Well, he's too
because he can see it, and nobody can see what's going to happen to him.
Save himself,
right? But unless he has to die for some bigger reason.
What? If he gets to have a big wet kiss with Cersei, and then walks off into the sunset, that'll be awesome. Will that happen?
No.
Because they hate each other.
We are a bunch of nerds. All we need is a board and a 16-sided piece of dye.
We need Marwa.
Marwa gets so mad at me. Once when I did cheat and looked at a spoiler, she just lectured me about, why would you do that?
You're so sweet. I guess we'll have to watch the Oscars without knowing what movies are good. I won't watch the Oscars. I swear to God, I'm not going to see either. A Star Is Born. Okay, honey, Betty, if you're listening to this, because the guy always dies, and I'm sick of it. The guy has to die so the star can be born. You understand?
Yeah.
It's like we're insects. Like I'm the insect host. Dying so she can be born. Not going to happen.
John, but you're Greek. You get that. That's like a poet of life for your so, for
let's history. Go to lunch. For Rokan of the Rokan Show with Anna DeVellantis, for Will Lee, Chicago Tribune reporter par excellence, and been following the Smollett story, and you can find him at Mid-Noir Cowboy on Twitter. For Jeff Carlin, executive producer of the aforementioned Rokan Show with Anna DeVellantis. And for me, John Cass, husband, father, columnist for the Chicago Tribune, member of the Tribune's editorial board, at least for now. For another edition of the Chicago Way, talk to you again after the election.